The following is a presentation of Peoria Nazarene Church. We are a church that seeks to make, mature, and multiply followers of Jesus Christ among all people. For more information about Peoria Nazarene Church, visit peorianazarene.church.
Some things that were our action and a lot of hard work, other things that were beyond our control happened to us. And so as we look forward to not just a new year, but a new decade, a lot of times we find ourselves thinking about what is it that we want to do? You know, what goals do we want to set? And so we think of doing, and we also think of, I wonder what things are going to happen or what actions or activity will take place in my life that'll force my doing that I don't know about, whether that be physical, relational. And so there's a lot beyond our control, but oftentimes we think about doing and what do I want to do differently? And one hunger I have in my heart is always a hunger to be better every new year. There's just a deep desire to want to be better in every area of my life. Better relationally, better spiritually, number one. Better financially, to be wiser. Better with my time management. Better physically. There's a lot of wants to be better. And then we think about, what do I need to do to be better? And we know a lot of the sayings that are very true. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. And I hate that quote. We all hate that. But so doing, and I was thinking about that, and one of the things that in preparations for this week that came to my mind is I think true success, our true success or failure, if you will, because that's how we think about it, has more to do with who we are listening to than it does with what we do. I think this is significant. Some of you doers are probably pretty mad already, but I want you to stay with me for a moment. True success or failure is going to come this year and the next decade, I think, in a greater relationship with who we're listening to. Because who we listen to will shape what we do. And what we do will have an impact on our lives and the lives of others. There's times we're very successful, but maybe we're successful in the wrong things. And there's times that we think we are failing, but maybe God is doing a work within us that we cannot see. So I guess I want to maybe redirect your mind in the way that I believe the Spirit is redirecting my mind from just thinking about doing and goals to making a commitment to choose very intentionally who it is that I will listen to this year, and with God's help, who it is that I want to listen to for this entire next season of our lives, this new decade, if you will. I believe we only have three options when it comes to who we can listen to. We can listen to self, we can listen to others, or we can listen to God. Those really would be the three main options I think that we have. Am I going to listen to myself? Is that going to be the primary guider of my year this year? What I think is best, what my judgments tell me I should do or shouldn't do, the decisions. Or am I going to be preoccupied with other people, whether those are professional relationships or personal relationships or family relationships? I can listen to other people. And as I listen to them, it affects and it has a direct impact on what I do. Or I have a choice to make that the primary voice I would listen to above all voices that would be not one of equal, one of three, but no, would be the supreme voice that has the ultimate authority and direction in my life, and that would be to choose to listen to God. That's just a process that I believe that God's kind of redirected where my mind naturally went to where I'm trying to live now. Deuteronomy 6:4 is a famous passage in the Old Testament. It's referred to as the Shema. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." So just to pause there, it's this heart of the Mosaic law is this command that is recited every day by Jews. Hear, O Israel, there's one God. And because there's only one God, we ought to listen to him. Hear, listen to him. And the response of that verse 5 is Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. If there really is one true God creator, if it really is true, then no other voice, no other voice, as important as it may be, as helpful as it may be, should have the final say in guiding me, in leading me, in authority than the voice of God. I want to talk with you this morning for a few moments about how listening to God, and more specifically listening to God's Son, Jesus, has more to do with our heart than it does our ears. And I want to look at that. I want to go back into the Gospel of Mark and look at chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, where we have Jesus teaching by the sea, and Jesus gives us, really in the first half of chapter 4, one of his kingdom parable, and then he concludes in the latter half of chapter 4. We're just going to look at the first 20 verses today, and this really is a parable that has to do with listening to God. And I think if we can catch what Jesus would say to us today, it could greatly impact our year this year. It could greatly impact us no matter what happens, whether our year is a year where of growth and happiness and success, or if our year is a year of unexpected hardship beyond our control, we can have a confidence. But the key is learning to listen with our hearts. And I think Scripture emphasizes this so much. Hear the inner person more than just, we all listen with our ears, but will we listen receptively with our hearts? I want to start the parable, chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, notice the first word here, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing, yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus begins this parable, and really in the first century, this seems like just boring information about a farmer. And that's a pretty much precisely what it is. There's nothing really extraordinary about the agricultural techniques of the day. This would be a common experience. Yes, a frustrating hard work, labor, toil under the sun to produce a crop. This is, even the harvest is not that spectacular. It's average to good. But we have this parable that Jesus is telling within the context of his ministry, where many people, as Jesus has come announcing the good news of the kingdom of God, that he truly is the Messiah, God's Son, and he's calling people to repentance, to follow him, that call is met with both acceptance on the one extreme, in surrender, but also with rejection on the other extreme. And in the middle, we have the crowds who come to see what's happening, but the cares of life and the busyness, they don't really follow Jesus. So here Jesus comes and he teaches a spiritual point through the use of a common metaphor or picture. He presents to us four different types of soil. The first soil is the seed along the path. It's the where individuals would walk the road, and the soil would become hardened. Because of that, it would be devoured by the birds, because the sea would never penetrate this hardened soil. Then there's the seed that fell on rocky ground without much soil. It immediately sprang up. And notice the key word of immediately. But since it had no depth, immediately, we're told again, the sun scorches it and it's unable to grow. And it dies and withers. Then there's the seed that fell among the thorns or the weeds in general. The thorns grow up, they choke it out, and it does not yield grain. And then there's that final kind of soil where the seed falls onto good soil, good, dark, black Illinois soil, right? And as a result, it produces grain, and there's an exponential harvest, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And Jesus says, he who has ears to let him hear. Jesus invites us to listen. The next verse is Jesus gives us the purpose. And I want to share this with you of why he would speak in parables. And let's look together at Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus said, and when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand the parable? How then will you not understand all the parables? And I want to pause there because up to this point, if you're following along, I hope it even feels a little awkward in my preaching. Not that that doesn't ever happen. But we go through this and it's like, okay, here's this agricultural story. So what? What's the point? And there's a sense in that which even the crowds of that day and hearing this, Jesus, they know clearly he's teaching a spiritual truth. They're aware of it, yet they don't fully understand. And then it's only after that when Jesus is alone and those that linger with him, the disciples, that they experience a greater understanding of what it is exactly Jesus is saying. There's a really important principle here. It is that those who are close to Jesus understand him. So the secret of the parables, the explanation is given to those who are close to Jesus. Jesus quotes Isaiah 6, 9 through 10, and this helps us understand at face value, it might seem like Jesus is trying to exclude people by talking in riddles. So he's trying to keep certain people at a distance by being confusing, and that's not at all what he's doing. Isaiah 6, 9 through 10 is what Jesus quotes here. And that passage is a passage in which God sends the prophet Isaiah to preach, and in spite of God warning Isaiah that the people have hardened hearts and they will not respond or listen, God still is calling his faithful prophet to preach to a people with hardened hearts who will not have faith. It's interesting that when we look back on Isaiah's time, the people couldn't understand the message of Isaiah, the word of the Lord through Isaiah. They could not understand the message until after. It wasn't until after the destruction of the land in Jerusalem that they would fully understand the message of Isaiah. And here in Mark's gospel, in the ministry of Jesus, in even a greater way, God sends his faithful son to a people without faith. They won't be able to understand and fully respond until they too see destruction. This time, it'll be the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus himself. And also, they'll see the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. So the application, if we were to kind of explain, okay, what significance does that have? I think it's important that we catch here that many times our ability to listen to the word of God, to truly be receptive, to truly understand, happens in moments when we face the destruction of something that matters very deeply to us. Many times it's in those moments that we draw near to Christ, because we desire more. Our hearts hunger for something greater. It isn't because God causes those things or he's the ultimate source of hardships in our lives, but he very much is at work in those moments to break up the hardened soil of our hearts. Here we see the disciples receive, they're insiders, they receive the full understanding of Jesus' teaching, not because he includes them because they're so great and wants to exclude others. No, it's because of the posture of their heart. Listening to God has more to do with the heart than the ears. Keep in mind, everybody, the Pharisees, the crowds, they've heard with their ears, but the disciples have responded with their hearts. And because of that, they're able to understand, and Jesus gives more information. This is why the clumsy disciples, who are often failing in the Gospel of Mark, here in this passage are the examples of understanding and true listening. They follow Jesus. They linger. They ask him. Notice Mark says that they ask him to explain. The others are excluded by their own hardened hearts and by the fact that they do not care enough or value enough of what Jesus is teaching to stay, to ask, and to listen. It's important that we listen with our hearts more than just with our ears. Well, the meat of this passage of Scripture really occurs in what comes next. I want to read that, where Jesus gives them that explanation, and that's where the heart of pretty much what we can apply to our lives comes today. So let's look back at the word, starting in verse 14. Jesus says, "The sower sows the word. These are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." Verse 20. "But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold." It's the word of the Lord. We have this application, and now all of a sudden we understand what it is that Jesus is telling us, what it is that he wants us to understand in this. There's a couple applications before we get into the four kinds of soils. Number one here, Jesus is the sower here, and he is sowing liberally. No one is excluded. Even those who have hardened soil that we would consider lost cause or a waste of a seed, Jesus does not exclude anyone. He sows to all the kinds of soil that are there. The seed comes to all, because God desires all to come to him. And here the seed is the word. It's the word of the Lord, and specifically the message of invitation into the kingdom of God. And I want to look at these four soils briefly. First, the seed along the path. These are the people that hear the word, but Satan immediately comes and takes the word that is sown in them. The soil is hardened, indicating a hardened heart that is too proud to hear and receive the teaching. Satan snatches the seed. Now, if we were to dig a little deeper here, when are you and I at risk at becoming this kind of soil? And I want to take a couple attempts to it's impossibilities. I think we become this kind of soil when we become preoccupied with our own understanding. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart In all your ways acknowledge him. Do not lean on your own understanding. Do not be wise in your own eyes. And we are at risk at becoming this kind of soil when we become preoccupied with our own understanding and our own knowledge. Another way that we become this kind of soil is when we have a prayerless life. And I think when we find ourselves in that reality of having a prayerless life, none of us start off to get there. But through neglect, we can develop a self-sufficient attitude where we develop a self-reliant life. Another way we can become this kind of soil is when we misunderstand the nature of sin and the corruption that's in our hearts. To really come to a place where we know our need of God, where our hearts become humble before him. The seed along the rocky ground is the second kind of soil that we read about. And it says, they hear the word and immediately receive it with joy, but they have no root in themselves. And the result is that they endure for a while, but when they face difficulty on account of the word, Mark tells us, the same word that first brought them joy in the initial response, but when things don't go well in following Christ and seeking his kingdom, just as quickly as that seed sprung up, it immediately, Jesus says, because of hardship, these individuals, these followers of Christ, fall away. Jesus' point is that our faith must move from emotion, just a response of emotion, to action and commitment. And we can become endangered of being this kind of soil when, and let me give you some examples, when we follow or attempt to follow God without reading his word. I think it's so foundational that we are guided by the word of God in everything we do. And if we don't make space for the word of God, our faith will not have roots. And so to follow Jesus, and every one of us, our desire is to listen to his teachings, to take time to understand what it is that Jesus has to say about life. It's so vital that we follow him, that we listen to his word. Another way we can become this kind of soil that doesn't really, we don't really, the seed really can't penetrate and get roots that will withstand difficult times is when we try to follow Jesus without being accountable to other Christians. And I think this may be the hardest one or our greatest sin, because we're so busy with so many good things, and we, some of us are okay, and probably many of us, if not most of us in our hearts, we're okay with following Jesus by ourselves. But there's an important thing for us to grasp is that we truly need each other. Scripture reemphasizes this point over and over again, the importance of walking with people who will encourage you. We all need encouragement. We love it. Correct you. I don't like correction as much as encouragement. We probably don't. But we need correction. People to speak the truth in love to us. People to strengthen us when we're weak, to care for us, to represent Jesus to us. If we don't make time for those relationships and seek them out, because it's going to take that. It's going to take seeking it out and intentional diligence to get those and to sustain them. The danger is we'll be like that seed that just springs up, things get difficult, it goes away. Final way that I think in that we may become this kind of soil is when we don't serve others. And I don't think this is limited. I'm just to the church here. It shouldn't be, although I'm so thankful for every volunteer who serves in the church, especially in the ministries that occur in the church. But it's way more than that. It's serving one another. I love the prayer wall that we're doing, writing words of encouragement, moving. And maybe as we start praying for some of these requests together, there'll be a prompting from the Holy Spirit to say, when appropriate, you know, I should send a letter of encouragement to this brother or sister in Christ. Maybe I can help meet that need. And it's really important for us to catch if our lives don't make time for service to one another in the kingdom of God, that we're not really going to grow to true spiritual maturity. Paul reminds us that it's not just that we that suffer then, it's the whole body, the church suffers, because we're unable to help each other up. We're unable to help each other grow into full Christ-likeness. We read about in Ephesians chapter 4. So we've had the seed along the path, the hardened soil, the rocky ground, but then we have the soil that's full of thorns where the seed hits this soil. And this is those that hear the word, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and desires for things enter in and they choke out the word. Because a result of that, it proves unfruitful. We can be in danger of becoming this kind of soil when we leave no margin in our lives. It's hard in today's world to leave margin and to commit to it and guard it. Just having this conversation, Jennifer and I in our home, she just went back to work, and now both of us work full-time jobs, and she's working for Maude Sanders as a school nurse, and we're trying to adapt to that. We're saying, boy, our family, with practices, with things going on with the kids, we have to create individual margin for us and then family margin because of the cares of life and so much that is going on. We have to create margin so that the cares of this life don't choke out the word. Do you hear that? So we're thinking goals, goals, goals. That's good, that's good. But more important than what we do is who we listen to. And for us to listen, we have to be aware that this kind of soil, the soil that's so full of weeds, and think of the weeds of your life. You could think of it that way. So many good things that are growing. Of course, weeds aren't good things. But so many things that are growing, and you find yourself, the gospel comes, the word of the Lord, as you read scripture, as you understand the teachings of Jesus. Unless you're intentional to make margin, it could drown out the greater things God wants to do in your life. Another way is, so if we need to leave margin for prayer, for God's word, for fellowship with other Christians, for service. But another way we can become this kind of soil is if we become consumed by materialism. Just the desire to have the things, the stuff, you know, adding so much stuff to our lives that we don't leave that space for God. The final kind of soil Jesus teaches us on is the good soil. Good soil is the soil that hears the word and accepts it and bears fruit exponentially. So what makes the soil good, and how can we know that we're the good soil? How can we really position ourselves throughout this year and through these coming years to be this kind of soil, the soil that God desires, the kind of hearer that God desires? And I think there's a couple things that are very important here. One is this: respond to Jesus' call. The seed comes to the soil. The soil doesn't go to the seed. This is important. Jesus is the sower. He's casting the seed. He comes to us when we are lost in our sins and when we don't care about him and when we're consumed by the cares of this life, living our own lives. Jesus initiates. He comes to each one of us. And even so, he's doing that this morning. Doesn't matter who the preacher is or pastor or who's sharing or whether it's a conversation in your small group this morning or throughout the week where somebody was sharing the word. If you've been in the word, the seed comes to us. And our part is to respond. We respond to his call. Notice that the disciples are examples of that in this story. They've responded to the call of Jesus, and they're a hot mess, for lack of better words. I mean, throughout the book of Mark, they're putting their feet in their mouth. They're falling short. They don't get it. But there's a difference between them and the crowds and the religious leaders and everyone else is their proximity to Jesus. They're with him. They're following him. That makes all the difference. So we respond to Jesus' call, and then as we stay close to him, he transforms us. Those two things go together: responding to his call and then staying close with him, walking with him. And as we do that, he changes us and he produces the harvest. Our part's the soil. Our part's the, to use Illinois, the black soil, the black, right? God's part is the green, the growth. It's very significant that we catch that. It's God who grows. Our part is the posture of our heart. Is our heart listening? Is our heart willing? Is it receptive and responsive to the call of God? And then do we commit? This is an important commitment. No matter what happens in my life, I'm going to stay close to you, Jesus. I'm going to take your hand, and I'm going to hold it. And sometimes that may be skipping, excited, full of joy and happiness. Other times you may just, that grip may be really weak, but God's grip is very, very strong. That's the most important thing that I firmly believe. More important than what we do this year is who we're listening to. And that takes a heart that is responsive to the call of God. Keep in mind, Jesus changed Levi, the tax collector. Mary was a prostitute who became a witness of the resurrection, early church leader. James and John sought their own glory instead of God's. They ultimately would give their life for Christ. Peter lacked follow-through and commitment. Paul persecuted the Christians. But something sets all these people apart. They responded to the call of Jesus with receptive hearts, and then they stayed close with him. And then Jesus changed them. Through his Spirit, he dramatically changed them. And the same can be true for us. Listening to Jesus has more to do with the heart than the ears. As I prepare to close on any given Sunday, let me put it this way, on any given day, we can be any one of these types of soil. Not just for the day, but throughout the day we can change. And it's important that we catch this. We don't just get to say, oh, you know, I've confessed Jesus as my Savior and Lord. Check the box. I'm good soil. Yes, did that. No, this business of preparing our hearts is a daily business. So let me ask you, what kind of soil are you? The hardened soil along the path, self-reliance. Really, the voice you're really listening to is you. The rocky soil. You have a nominal commitment to Christ. But your faith is shallow. It doesn't really go deep into the word, into prayer, into community with other Christians. The thorny, where the seed is growing, but there's so many weeds in your life that the good that God wants to do in your life can't be accomplished because all the distractions, the materialism, the cares of life are choking out the fruit that God wants to bring in your life. Or do you want to be the good? The good is a heart that says, I want to respond. I hear you calling, Jesus. Here I am, Lord. Yes, I want to respond to your call, and I want to stay close to you. That is how we are changed, and that is how we become fruitful. Our part's the brown or the black soil. God's part is the green, the growth in your life. We're going to close by receiving communion together. Communion is an invitation, and it's a reminder of Jesus' calling to us. And as we prepare our hearts for communion, as we come, let me remind you, if you come to the table of the Lord, come with your pride. Don't pretend it's not there. If you find yourself surrounded by self-reliance, come to the table, come to the Lord. Let him crucify that pride. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Come with that. If you find yourself in a habit of prayerlessness, come to the table. Come to the Lord Jesus that he might stir your heart again. He's calling. It's not a judgmental call. It's his love calling. He desires to stir your heart to commune with him. Don't hide our lust or our strong desires for things. for people, for materialism that can choke out the word. Bring those things to the table too. What fears do you have in your heart for this year, for next year? They distract you. There may be a lot of the weeds right now. Don't leave those in your seat. When you come to the Lord Jesus, bring those, because he loves you. What people are weighing heavily on your heart this morning? Would you bring those in your heart, those burdens, to the Lord Jesus? We're bringing brokenness to Jesus. And then when you partake in faith in your heart, receive again and more fully Jesus as a sacrifice for our sins. The Holy Spirit as the one who fills us who believe, who empowers us, who is our counselor and guide, and leave the table knowing and receiving the love of God the Father. He's calling. And then when you leave the table, don't leave without him. Stay close to Jesus. Just want to give some instructions as we prepare to come. Number one, we practice open communion. So if you're new today, you don't have to be a member of this church to participate. We use the method intinction where you take a piece of the bread, dip it into the juice, and partake that way. But you do not have to be a member of this church or any other church. We believe that what is required is simply a response of faith. A faith to answer Jesus' call, to follow him as Savior and Lord. If you'd rather not participate, that's okay. You can just remain seated. Nobody's going to look down on you or think less of you. That's perfectly fine. And you can just continue to worship as we prepare. So I'm going to invite you in just a moment when you come. Use the outside aisles. So make your way in rows to the outside aisles. When you're ready, you'll come to the middle, take a piece of the bread, dip it into the cup, and then use the center aisles to return. I'm going to invite Flo to come, and Pastor Matt are going to help me. But I want to read for you a reading that I read this morning in my family time. It's from the book, Thoughts to Make Your Heart Sing. It's a great devotional for families, but also for adults, I'm finding. It's got a picture of Jesus holding the cup in it. And the title's Covenant God. I want to read this brief reading to you as we prepare our hearts. A covenant in the Bible was an unbreakable contract written not in ink, but in blood. You'd kill an animal and say, if I don't keep my promise, let me die like this animal. God made a covenant like that with us children and said, with his children and said, I will always love you. We were supposed to promise to him, we will always love you too. But we ran from God, and we broke our side of the contract, and the law called for our deaths, and yet God spared us. How? Did he just ignore the law? No. God himself kept our side of the covenant for us, and in Jesus died instead of us. God's promise to always love us is written in his blood, the blood of his son. Matthew 26 says, this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. Let's pray together, then we'll have some music and just come as you're ready. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love for us today. We ask now that as we prepare our hearts to come to your table, Father, we want to make time to examine our hearts and where we are. And we just would pray, God, that you would guide us, that you would help us to have a true understanding of where we are. And even before we think about what we must do this year, we want to listen well to you daily. And so, Father, we pray that we would be good soil. Remind us as we come to your table, we don't come because we're worthy. There's not a single person here worthy of this sacrifice that you've done for us. We come because you have invited us, and you have paid the price for our sins. You have fulfilled our side of the covenant that we broke, so that we might know your love, so we might be free from our sins, so that we might have eternal life with you. And so as we come today, we pray that even this act of coming in faith would be an act that would enable us to draw closer to you, to experience more of your grace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.